What a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sharon. Beautiful playing. It's good to see you here. And let me be the first to say Merry Christmas to you. Well, the first, you probably already heard that all morning. I was just sharing with Stan as we get started. I'm looking out there. Everyone's sitting pretty much in your normal spots, aren't you? Aren't you? We're creatures of habit on Christmas Eve. Just what a blessing it is to see everyone here in God's house. We just sing some wonderful Christmas carols and just praise his name for all that he's done and who he is. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let
come to you on this beautiful, beautiful Christmas Eve morning. We thank you for the rain as you continue to give us what we need and replenish the earth. We thank you for your love unending. And Father, we just thank you so much. So much for the reason for us gathering together. Thank you for eternal life that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be honored this morning, Lord, with our hearts of praise. Be honored with all that you hear. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We got just a couple of things to run past you. We do have our candlelight service tonight at 6 p.m. Pastor Stan will be leading out in that. We also have coming up next Sunday, just a reminder, we are not having Bible study in the morning, having just a church service. I don't want to say just a church. Let me rephrase that. We're not having Bible study. We are gathering together for a worship service at 10:30. So for those of y'all who got out early this morning and came up, I apologize. The doors weren't open. David already left to go to the airport, but I'm going to call him out in front of everyone, and he can go back and watch it. David called me this morning wanting to know where everyone was, and it was about 8:50. Because our tech guys usually get here about 8 o'clock, 10 after 8. And I, of course, told him, do you think the rapture occurred? He's here by himself. And so those of y'all that came a little early, we apologize. But we want you to enjoy time with your family. This Wednesday as well, we're not having our regular Bible studies and youth gathering and children's gatherings this Wednesday. Enjoy time with your family. We will have, those of y'all in the worship ministry, we will have a rehearsal this Wednesday night. All right, so really that's about all the announcements. You do have a bulletin, and so there's other things coming up in January you need to see. And if you're our guest today, thank you for being here, and it's just good to have you. It's good to have you worship with us, and if you don't have a church home, we would love to get to know you a little bit more and let you know about the ministries here and what God is doing here. Please tear off that section there in the bulletin and take it back there and to the Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you. I know I was just reflecting back, and we were talking earlier in the week, just reflecting back about Christmases past. Do y'all have memories of Christmases past? Us older ones? I mean, can you remember back that far? I'm just reflecting back. I have a bicycle right now that I'm refurbing, and I'm cleaning up the chrome, and it's gotten rusted, but it's 1969. It was a gift from my parents. I remember pajama bottoms. Well, probably the tops too, but they had the Western theme. I already had the guns and the holsters. I mean, it was just imprinted on the pajama bottoms. Anyone have anything like that back in the late 60s, early 70s besides me? I'm remembering some of the things that I got for Christmas and just the excitement that I got. And I started reflecting. I'm so grateful for other gifts that I got that I'm not remembering. I'm also so grateful for a gift that keeps on giving to this day, and that's parents who raised me in the Lord. And what a special gift that was, not just on Christmas Day, but that was a gift that I received every day that I was growing up and living at home. And I didn't recognize all that they did for me. There was a time that I picked up a phone. Y'all remember those phones that hung on the wall? And I picked up the phone and I called my friend, and I've got my little bag packed, Pam, and I was going to run away from home because life was so tough for me. Life was so tough for me. And it really wasn't. All they were doing was keeping me in line, and that was hard for them to do. I was waiting for someone to say amen.
We can imagine.
Middle child, red-headed, last name Darling. What can you imagine about those days? But just reflecting back of the gift of parents who loved me, who nurtured me, who corrected me, who kept me on the path and the way of the Lord. And then the best gift of all. And can you testify to this, the best gift of all, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of love, the gift of just his unending grace that keeps on giving and giving and giving. We are so blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed. Let's continue our time of worship and reflecting on his goodness and his blessings in our life. You want to stand again? You'll probably be sitting around the table most all afternoon enjoying all the food and presents, so let's stand again. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Join the triumph of the skies with
may be seated. Reflecting back on this month as we've gone through our Advent season, we started off in just recognizing and celebrating the hope that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the next week we celebrated the joy that only comes from Him. And the world seeks, and sometimes we seek as well, joy that doesn't come from Him, and nothing compares to the joy that we have when we're walking in full fellowship with Him. And we celebrated last week love from the Father, who loved us so much He gave His only Son to die for our sins. And then love from our Lord and Savior, who loved us so much that He willingly laid down His life. And that demonstrated how much they loved us, how much they do love us, and it enables us to love one another as well. And today, we celebrate peace. Only peace that comes from the Lord. In Luke 2, 13 and 14, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." So today, tomorrow, in this season, let us never forget the hope, the joy, the love, and the peace that we are able and privileged to have all through Him. Amen. Amen.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down His sweet head. The stars in the sky
put you on the spot here. Do you have O Holy Night, or can you play O Holy Night? Would you just come on up? And one of the things I remember growing up was a lot of times at our church, we had a wonderful piano player. Like, this church has been blessed with many wonderful piano players, but a lot of times right before the message, they just let the piano player play and give us a chance just to... Everybody do this real quick. Do you know what that's called? It's called breathing. You don't get to do that much around Christmas time, you know. It's just, especially if you got a new baby, it's good to have a new baby in here too. And y'all too, you know, we got, you know. And so it's just, for me, I just would love to have just a moment just to focus on why we're here. Now, I'm not talking about why we're in this room, although that's important too. But why we're here is to, because we have a God who loves us, who created us for fellowship with Him, and who ensured us to have a way to have that fellowship with Him. And so just this moment, just spend some time just reflecting on the beauty of the God that you serve, on the beauty of the Jesus who came to be your Lord and Savior, and the beauty that He put His Holy Spirit within you, if you belong to Him, and just to get to celebrate the peace that is ours today because of Jesus. I taught her everything she knows. Thank you, Sharon. O night divine, O night when Christ was born, that night divine led to 33 more years of divine nights as Jesus walked this planet and then died on the cross for you and me. No sins of his own, but died as a sacrifice for us, rose again on the third day, walked another 40 days on this planet, 40 more divine nights, and every night has been divine ever since, and always will be, because he opened up a way for us to come to God. So today we worship more than a baby. We've been talking all this month, instead of just focusing on the birth of Christ, we've been focusing on him being more than a baby from Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be in Colossians 1 again today. And let's see if I can get my slides to move with me. There we go. Thank you, Kathy. And so today we're going to talk about peace on earth, goodwill to all. Is that how you usually hear that, by the way? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But you know what Colossians 1 declares is that it's not just God's goodwill to men, But he actually declares his goodwill to all of his creation. Things in heaven, things on earth. And so we're going to see that in just a minute. That Jesus coming declares more than just God likes men and women. And boys and girls. We don't want, and babies. You know, all these cool babies around here. It declares that God has goodwill to all that he's created. And so we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 today. And I'd love for you, if you would, to stand with me as we read God's word, just because once again it declares who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is also the head of the body, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Heavenly Father, bless us as we study your word today, that this Christmas and every Christmas, we will understand that it is all about Christ, but it's not just about his birth, that he's more than a baby, and he rescued us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Keep your Bibles open as we go through this lovely passage. And again, we're talking about peace on earth and goodwill to all. And we're going to start off talking about the gift that God desired. You ever think about that? Does God desire gifts? Does God desire? And a lot of times when we think about the gift that God desires, by the way, my box is still down here on the front. From last week from Kids Church, and Charles was gonna spill the beans about it. But you'll have to come look in for yourself. I'm going to put it back up here. And everybody that looks in here sees exactly what God wants you to give them for this Christmas. Okay? And it's a special box. It's just, I'm not going to say magic. It's just special. Okay. Mike, you want to know what's in it, don't you? You probably figured out there's a mirror at the bottom of it. And so when all the kids looked at it, they see themselves, and that's what God wanted for Christmas. And we know that, right? That's the idea of what does God want me to give him for Christmas? He wants me to give him me. You know, surrender to him, to just abandon to him, you know? And a lot of times we think of surrender to him as, oh, man, I'm giving up everything. But when we abandon to him, we're not giving up anything. We're gaining everything. If we give up a frail, weakly mindset to get the eternal God of heaven, the sovereign Lord of the universe, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, Almighty Father, Everlasting Father, all of these things we are gaining. We're not giving up anything when we surrender or abandon to him. We're just gaining. And so this passage, I'd never really seen it before, but it says something about what God likes. And it was in that verse 19, it says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him." For all of God's fullness to dwell in Jesus Christ as a man. And it's that idea, it says, it was God's goodwill, his pleasure. This is what God wanted to happen. When Jesus became a man and emptied himself of his divinity so he could walk among us, that was what God desired. That's what God wanted. I still don't understand it. But man, it's just made such an impact this Christmas on my heart that God, and then I started thinking about God's good pleasure of dwelling with men. And think about Adam and Eve in the garden. Okay? We hear about God creating, and he says, we're going to create man in our own image. And he says, now, because you're in my image, I want you to rule over this creation I've made and be creative as well among this creation and replenish and be fruitful and multiply. But then you remember after the fall, after the first sin in Genesis 3, you remember what happens, how that sin is discovered? Now, we know God already knew, but what does it say? It said, and God came in the cool of the garden, and he said, Adam, where are you? In other words, up until that point, Adam and Eve had this personal fellowship with God where God would come and walk with them in the garden. Can you imagine? My dad's gone on to be with the Lord. But man, if somebody said, okay, today for your Christmas present, you can go play golf with your dad. You know, man, I'd jump on that one. You know, I'd be okay just playing Scrabble with him. I know I'd get beat, but that's okay. I'd be glad getting beat by 100 points in Scrabble with my dad sitting there just fellowshipping with. And that's my earthly father. God Almighty wants to spend time with us. That's part of his good pleasure to dwell, because it goes on that we broke that relationship in the fall in our sin, and we all do that. But God restored it through Jesus. We're going to see that in a minute. But you remember how Revelation ends? Revelation ends with a new heaven and a new earth, and God is in the center and makes his dwelling among men. He makes his dwelling among men. And he's so close to Matthew that if a tear should come to Matthew's eye, he can just reach over and take it off with his finger. God wants to dwell with us. That's God's good pleasure. And so he sent his son so that all his fullness, if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. Because all of his fullness dwells in Jesus as he walks among men. But it also tells us that he wants to dwell with us so that he could, through him, reconcile all things to him, so he could restore the relationship we broke. God didn't break the relationship, we did. Our sin breaks the relationship with God. But yet God comes from heaven to earth so that he could restore that relationship. You know, it reminds me of a passage we always read at Christmas time, where God is Emmanuel. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew 1, when the angel is appearing to Joseph, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save or redeem his people from their sins. And now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, say it again. God with us. God desires to dwell with us, and that is God's good pleasure. That's the gift that God desired. By the way, that that word for good pleasure is also translated elsewhere in the Bible as well pleased. And do you remember hearing the phrase well pleased at the baptism of Jesus in the garden and on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See, God was well pleased to send his Son. God was well pleased with the mission that Jesus was on, and God was well pleased to dwell with us so that someday we could come home and dwell with him. That's the gift that God desired. Now, the gift that God delivered is found in Colossians 1, verse 20 and following. It says, through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And that's the part about goodwill to all. He said, things on earth, things in heaven, all things. Jesus reconciled all things. That doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved. That doesn't mean that whether God's going to somehow work redemption, whether somebody wants redemption or not, whether somebody will bow their knees to Christ, because the rest of the New Testament tells us that's not how it works. What it means is that Jesus has done everything to redeem everything that was broken. God delivered it through Jesus. Yeah, I was thinking about deliveries, and I try to stay out of the stores nowadays. And I accidentally had to go to Walmart yesterday. And I say accidentally because I did not want to be there. Didn't want to be in Kohl's the night before either, but David Upton was there too, getting his stuff, you know. It was funny, yesterday ran into several members of our church at Walmart, had great ministry visits, you know. I don't go shopping a whole lot because there's this company that'll just bring stuff to my doorstep. They're at my beck and call, you know. And I put it in there, and 2 days later it shows up on my doorstep. Except for I really needed this one shirt for my son-in-law. And I said, I'm sorry, we can't get that to you till January. And so, Pete, you'll be getting it, but it'll be in January, you know. But, you know, even those things, they got that company, which shall remain nameless, got so large that they can't fulfill all their promises that they're trying to fulfill. Guess what? God can fulfill all his promises. There's never a slow delivery. There's always a just at the right time delivery. Because Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so he could redeem all of us who were held captive under the law. That's our God. And so he sent Jesus at just the right time so that he could reconcile the world to himself, those who had gone away from him. James 1:7 says, 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. Any good gift you have in your life came from God. He's the one that delivers every good gift. And it comes and he never changes. That's what it means. There's no shadow of turning in him. There's not even the least bit of worry that God will change his mind and start sending horrible things at you. Everything God sends is good for you. Now, a lot of times we think of good gifts in different terms. Now, I started thinking about that, you know, we may have a different version of what good is. Good in the Bible is true, perfect, holy, what's best for us. And so sometimes that may include a new car or a new boat, or it may include some kind of gift that somebody gives you and it lights up your life and everything else. But a lot of times we think of stuff as the gifts that are most important at Christmas, and they're the least important. The only reason we give gifts is supposed to be so we can show somebody how much we love them. and how much we appreciate them. Not because, oh, Aunt Susie's going to give me something, so I got to get something for her too, you know. Or, you know, that begrudging giving of gifts, that's not good gifts. We need to be people who look to our Father and follow His way. And what God always does is give gifts that will draw people into what's good. And what's good is Him, a relationship with Jesus. And so I'm not saying, you know, as your kids are opening up their stockings and their gifts, you know, that you're preaching out. Now, you know, the only reason you got that railroad train this morning is because God is good and He's good all the time and you need to acknowledge that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to say as they're opening the gifts or when they're finished opening the gifts, do you know why we gave you gifts? Because God gave us you and you are so precious to us. And we want you to know how much you are loved. Charles asked me if I wanted to share about any gifts, you know, when we're talking about gifts and stuff. And I said, I have one vivid memory of Christmas, a Christmas gift, one vivid Christmas gift. And it was when I was in high school. And I wanted one of those electronic Coleco electronic quarterback games. Guys, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, okay, come on, somebody raise your hand. Okay, we got them. Yeah. And my friend had one, and I was getting pretty good at it, and I thought, I need to get that game, you know. And so I asked my parents for that electronic Coleco game. And Christmas morning, I'm opening up my present, and there it is, a Simple Simon game. Y'all remember the Simple Simon game, right? It's got the four colors, and it goes in random, and you got to match the colors and everything else. That is not a Coleco armchair quarterback game. I was such a brat because I said, thanks, Mom. But she could see all over my face, this is not what I wanted, and it's not appreciated. There were six kids in our family. My mom and dad, my mom was a school teacher, my dad worked at a tile plant. And so I know that they had a budget for each one of us. My kids always make fun of me too because we didn't have stockings. And we had to put our shoe, one of our dress shoes, out under the tree. And we got filled with little goodies like candies and stuff like that. And our kids say, you ate fruit and candy out of your shoe? I only wore it once a week, you know. So, but it was one of those things that I just wasn't appreciative of the gift that had been given me. And in a moment, we're going to talk about that as far as us as believers. You see, there's another passage that we read at Christmas time. In Luke 2, the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign to you, you shall find that babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. We always read it growing up in the King James, peace, goodwill to men. Man, it meant so much more when I finally found out that it wasn't talking about we're supposed to have goodwill towards each other. That's why I don't treat y'all well. You know, I'm just kidding. We're supposed to have goodwill towards each other because God showed His goodwill to us. We are the ones who have found pleasure in God's eyes. He's pleased with us. That's hard to reconcile. But the only way we can reconcile it is that Christ reconciled us. And that's that It's a gift that deserves a response. And some of my notes I put, it's a gift that demands a response. It says, have you noticed that everything we've preached, you know, between Brandon and I in that whole passage, chapter 1, verses really 13 through 20, has all been about who? Y'all can say the Sunday school answer here. It's about who? Jesus, right? It's about Jesus the Christ, that he's more than a baby, that he's so much more than a baby. And all these things about him being the fullness of God, being everything, being the sacrifice, being the Savior. Paul turns it around in 21 through 23. He said, now we've talked about who Jesus is. Let's talk about who you are. And I underlined the yous in here. You know, before it was all about all Jesus did this for all things, all he created. It was all about Jesus and about God the Father using Jesus in a manner that would reconcile us. In verse 21 through 23, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a ministry. You were formerly this, but now you have been made something totally different. That whole idea of that transformation. I've spent a lot of time thinking, how could God love me? How could, you know, even when I make mistakes and do stupid things and all those kind of things, it's kind of like, you know, that question comes back, how could God love any of us? We spit in his eyes so often. We take for granted the most precious things in life, and we bring in other things to take the place of what should rightfully be his. He should be first priority. He should be the one that we worship. And he says, you know, I realize who you were. You were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in an evil deed. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? You were alienated means you were my enemy. And you were hostile in your thinking. You thought things that were disgusting or disturbing to God and his holiness. And you were engaged in things that were evil. See, it's not that God looked down, and he said, well, I'll forgive everybody and it'll be okay. And we just kind of get in under that. No, it's that he knows each one of us so very well. And he knows everything that we used to think and do. And he said, it was all against me. But yet he has now reconciled you. See, the things you used to be is not who you are now. If you belong to Christ Jesus, he has reconciled all of that. He says, that's all gone. And now he's made you holy, which means he sees you as someone who's totally dedicated to him. That's what holy means, is totally set apart and dedicated for him. When God looks at someone who has Jesus in their heart, all he sees is Jesus. And he sees you as someone who is just like Jesus. Just can't even grasp it. But he says, I see you as holy. I see you as blameless. And that word actually means without a blemish. You know, when they came to sacrifice an animal, they could not sacrifice an animal if it had a spot on it, if it had a wrinkle on it, if it had something not just perfectly, if the best possible animal had to be sacrificed. And he said, you are that sacrifice that is unblemished. And then he says, and blameless. There is not a court in all of creation that can accuse you of anything that has not already been wiped out by Jesus Christ. Not guilty to everything. And that's what that, it is a legal term that says you cannot be held accountable for anything. Okay, so a lot of times I'm still stuck in that, oh man, I'm alienated from God. I'm hostile in mind. I'm engaged in evil deeds. That's who I've always been. I'm a person. I'm a failed person. I'm flawed and all these kind of things. When God says, if you believe me, Jesus took that away. That's why he's more than a baby. Because he can do things that we could not do for ourselves. And he has done them. That deserves a response of gratitude, that when God looks at me, he sees a wonderful gift all wrapped up for Christmas. Someone who is his. Someone who is not stained by the world, and someone who is pure and innocent. We love now as grandparents getting to see our grandkids at Christmas time. And y'all pray for our little granddaughter from Portland. She picked up whatever's been going around and is running high fever all night long. And that's just miserable to our hearts, you know. And at the same time, I know there's someone who loves her more than I love her. There's someone who loves her more than her parents love her. There's someone who cares for her, and it's all good because we serve a God who's good. And that deserves a response. And in verse 20 says, he says, 23, he says, listen, if indeed you continue in your faith. See, and the thing is, that sounds like you can fall from salvation and everything, but what it's really saying is, listen, if you know this God, you know the Jesus who has transformed you, you will continue in this faith. That's the sign. Paul always, he's not saying this is going to happen or you're going to fall from your faith. No, it's if you truly know Jesus and love Jesus, you will not. This is what your life will look like. You will continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast. Nothing can move you from your faith in him. And then that not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've received. I know some of you have shared things that are going on in your lives. Sicknesses in family members. Grief. Job situations. Opportunities. All sorts of things that happen as long as we live in this fallen world are going to be happening. Don't move away from your hope. And trust the God who has saved you and reconciled you. In the midst of hardship, sometimes that's the times we've grown closest to our children or our grandchildren, is when there's been a hardship and we've had to pull together. Know that God is going to work all things out for good. For those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So don't lose faith. Stick to it. And by the way, that whole idea of a firmly established and steadfast means you've got to get into it too. It's amazing to me. No, it's not amazing. It's amazing to me that I'm so stupid to, oh, sorry, that's a bad word, right? Okay, that I'm so dull and thick-headed not to remember, walk with Jesus every day and just dive in. Because every time I just really get sold out to Jesus, all sorts of cool things happen spiritually. You can go to Walmart and end up getting to pray with a guy who's been having foot problems for months now. And they can't seem to get rid of it. And we're right there and, you know, somebody kind of cut in front of me at the register and took a long time, you know. And so that gave us time to communicate and talk. And it just, things like that. Have you seen that? where when you're seeking the Lord, he's opening doors and he's opening windows. That's what Paul says. Listen, you know, you've heard this. It's been proclaimed to all creation under heaven. And he said, and I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, I want us to take that last, because this gift deserves a response. And I want you to put your name in there, of which I, Marilyn, was made a minister. Not only did he take me from being an enemy with a foul mind and a foul lifestyle to someone who is holy and pure and blameless and beyond reproach for all eternity. Nobody can ever bring a charge against God's elect. And so here we are. He's changed us. But then he said, and also, I'm calling you to be my light in this world. Calling you to be my minister. Paul had a special ministry. But every one of us should be able to say, it's been proclaimed in all to all creation under heaven, and of which I, Stan Fike, get to declare it at 123 Teakwood Drive in Princeton, Texas. The response we have to this gift: believe, hope, share. Titus 3 was a cool passage too that says, we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of our God and Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds we'd done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. It demands a response. And it's not the response my mom got when I got a Simple Simon game. It's not the response of God, why aren't you doing things the way I want you to? Why aren't you opening the doors I want you to open? Why aren't you healing the people I want you to heal? Why aren't you making it where I don't have to worry about my finances anymore? Why aren't you opening this or closing that? Why are things not going the way I want them to? And God just says, not that he couldn't afford the ColecoVision game. More than likely, God was moving behind that because he knew I'd get wrapped up playing a ColecoVision game instead of doing the things I ought to do. You know, I never even thought of that till just now. My response was, I'm not appreciative of the gift I've just received. What's your life look like? Does your life look like something that says, God, I'm appreciative of the gift I've received. I trust you implicitly. Whatever you want or don't want in my life, I'm not going to ask you for what I want. I'm just going to share with you, here it is, God, whatever you desire, I'll be yours. I'm all in. Hold on to your hope, because this life is not what we're about. This life is really about that life, that we are already seated in the heavenlies. We already have a relationship, eternal relationship with the God who loves us and has redeemed us. So let's live lives that are holy and blameless and pure. And let's celebrate that I, Stan, has been called a minister of Almighty God. Jesus is more than a baby. He's the gift God desired. He's the gift God delivered. He's a gift that demands a response. Peace on earth. goodwill to all. Question, do you have that peace? Are you at peace with God today? Are you at peace with life today? Are you where you can just celebrate Christmas this year because you know you have a God who loves you and has transformed you? Are you sitting here and you'd say, yeah, I know that he said I used to be that and now I'm this holy and blameless and pure person before him. Man, I just don't feel that. Does God ever ask us to feel holy and blameless and pure? No. He asks us to believe, to have faith. See, because when we think it has to be about how we feel, that's all about us again. That's about us doing something to earn our salvation instead of us just acknowledging God's already declared it. That's it. That's the truth of who I am in Christ Jesus. I believe it, and I'm holding on to that hope that when God sees me, he already sees something that's beautiful, spotless, and pure. By the way, that doesn't mean live however you want to. He says continue in the faith, steadfast, established, and holding on to hope. Man, I'm excited about this holy night, this holy day, and tomorrow's holy day and holy night, and the next day and the next day and the next day, because I've been set apart for Jesus and he has been delivered from my sins. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for all you've given. Lord, we thank you on this Christmas Eve. We remember that in the incarnation that you came as Emmanuel. Jesus, you dwelt among us and we beheld your glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, your word tells us all sorts of stuff, but it tells us also that if we want to know grace and truth, we got to know Jesus. I pray that if anybody's here today and they're not at peace spiritually, they're not at peace eternally, that today will be a day they say, yes, I believe in the Jesus who came as a baby, but was so much more. Jesus, I just want you to transform me to be your follower, to be yours completely. Lord, if there's some of us that realize that sometimes we let other things get in the way, we let our toys or our joys or our pursuits get in the way of really pursuing you, I pray today will be a day of repentance and our response to you will be one of, Jesus, I'm all in again. And Lord, we do pray for those needs that we have. And we know that you are a God big enough to take care of every one of them. And so we're going to believe you. We're going to trust you. We're going to leave them at your feet and let you do amazing things the way you desire to do them. Lord, we're going to hold on to our hope, both for this world and for the people around us, but also, Lord, that hope that we have that's sure that someday we get to go home. And what a glorious day that will be. Until we do so, help us be found faithful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, after the service, if you need to come and bow at the altar and just spend some time with your response, the response that the Word of God has demanded from your heart today, and make some commitments to Him, you can do that. Anybody around here would love to pray with you if you need somebody to pray with you or even help hold you accountable in prayer. That's what we're here for. That's why God put us together in family of faith. But let's stand together, and our first response to the gifts of God should be a heart of worship. And so let's just sing this great commitment. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I was trying to figure out how you turn that into, oh, go now and serve him, and that just didn't work. So one of y'all will have to write that one, but as we go, remember, we are called to express his love. Those of you who can join us tonight, we'll be here at 6 o'clock. One of my favorite services all of the whole year is the candlelight service. Just reminders that Jesus is the light of the world. He put his light within us. Go share that light.